Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the Champions League final build-up show. My, oh, my, oh, my. It does not get any bigger than this. Stay here with Ross and with Sam. Straight off the bat, if you're wondering where Paul and Chris are, they are en route to Paris. They left this morning. They packed up Chris's car and off they went, Tom and Charlie in tow as well. So keep an eye out on the YouTube channel throughout the next couple of days. They'll be doing updates from the road, again, on the social channels, on our Insta, on our Facebook and on Twitter. Keep up to date with Paul and Chris and Tom and Charlie on the journey down to France. But luckily, I've got two able replacements, two other icons of the Red Men TV, him, Ross and Sam. And Sam, let's just get straight to it. Mo Salah has called this game against Real Madrid revenge.
Yeah.
Jürgen Klopp has downplayed that. Mm. I think Jordan, in this press conference, laughed it off a little bit as well. Is it revenge time for you? Do you feel that personally? Or is it just, it's the Champions League final. It is what it is anyway.
Before I answer that question, I've just got to congratulate you on that amazing little bit of work you did there. You said the Champions League final, my, oh, my, Camila Cabello. My, oh, my, to tune that.
Don't be a...
That was amazing, Steve. Didn't even know he did it as well.
Have you had copyright strikes?
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Well, she's doing this, so singing at the final. She is. That was amazing. Good work, mate.
Accidental.
Revenge. Revenge. Do you know what? I can completely see why it is for Salah. It has to be. And if that motivates him, then it motivates me. But yeah, in terms of the team, I think we're just on our own path now to like destiny, to greatness, to eliteness, to that top bracket of teams that just gets remembered for a lifetime. So two Champions Leagues with this squad, a treble would be amazing. So I think it's gone bigger than revenge for me personally. And they haven't got half the players that caused us that pain, and we've missing a few as well. So for me, it's gone a little bit past that. I can see why Jürgen would play it down, but for Mo, if that's what gets you going, Mo, mate, we're all on board.
Yeah,
I think I'm all right with it. And to Sam's point, I agree with Mo. Obviously, he's got his own reasons. And not only did it ruin the final for him, it ruined his World Cup because he basically went to the World Cup with one arm. But I think maybe just keep it to yourself. I think that's why Jordan and Jürgen have tried to downplay it. You don't want the narrative to be, we're just here for revenge. We're here for a Champions League final. We're here to a game of football. And again, you know, hopefully we do, but if we didn't win it, and you've been calling it and building up as a revenge, and then you lose, you then got further egg on your face to do so.
I'm okay with him calling it because it's individual. There's 16, was it? 16 lads who are going to get beyond the pitch for Liverpool more than likely in this final. The 16 of them have got different journeys and different paths to that final. And Philippe Canate, he's at home in Paris, and you've got like 100 different stories, whatever. Mo's journey involves Real Madrid. The Mo Salah story cannot be told without him getting his arm done in Kiev against Madrid. So I'm all for it. It was kind of interesting, though, Sam, that Jürgen and Hendo did downplay it a bit. Jürgen said, you know, don't really believe in revenge, I'm not that type of person. Hendo was like, yeah, we've had a little bit of a laugh, you've almost taken the piss out of Mo. It feels nice that even in like the biggest moments, like they're all still having a bit of a josh with each other, but they're not saying to Mo, you're wrong, you can't think that. They're just saying, no, actually, we're not like that, but each to their own.
And you know, the experience of that final in Kiev for our squad was different because we were doing well, and then Mo gets injured, and that's when the tie turns. But even still, even though Real Madrid dominated the game, and even though Salah went off, Karius still basically threw the game away. Yep. If we're being completely open and frank about it, so I can see why. Like when Henderson and those players experience that, it's hard to get revenge when actually the guy's still in the squad who cost us that game. Do you know what I mean? He probably would still be travelling over with them and being part of it all, the preparation. So I suppose it's different experiences for different players. So even if, I actually don't believe Henderson wants necessarily revenge either. I believe what he's saying is he's probably just looking forward.
Yeah.
But we keep coming back to it.
Yeah.
Mo Salah's got a different agenda here, and so he should. You know, he should, and it will make a better game for him for it, because he'll want to prove something. He'll want to give that extra 5%.
Mo with a chip on his shoulder.
There's loads of reasons for determination. Like Mo's got that. The whole squad have got that from last time they played Real Madrid and lost. I think there's also, as Jordan said yesterday in the presser, the Champions League final, you don't need much more than that. But also the good thing of, if you're going to take a positive out missing the league about one point, is, well, we missed out on that one. Let's go and fucking win this one.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about Liverpool and their team selections and any issues around that later on. But first, I want to speak about the opponents. I'll stick with you then, Ross. Real Madrid, like the comeback kings almost this season. And this is where you can look at things two ways. So obviously, the down two are going to get to PSG, come back and beat them in the last 16. The 3-0 up against Chelsea, and all of a sudden, the 4-3 down pretty much, and again, have to come back. It needs the 80th minute goal and an extra time goal, isn't it, from Benzema? Again, the chaos of the semis against Man City, where they're a minute from being out, and all of a sudden they're ahead in extra time. There's either a confidence from a Liverpool point of view, depends which way you look at this. They've been got at, and teams have got at them, and they've needed two games to come back from it.
Yeah.
Or the flip side is, they are this team of destiny who just finds a way and find, no matter what, where there's a will, there's a way, we'll sort it out. Which of those camps do you feel in looking at Real Madrid?
Both, because I know full well if that was Liverpool and we were making all these comebacks, I'd be like, it's our destiny. Like
the name's on the trophy.
Yeah,
the name's
on the trophy. Like, you know, we've done this too
many times. 2005, essentially. Yeah.
But like, I was watching the overlap this morning, and Carragher was saying, like, you know, Man City, that game should have been done in the first half. There's only so many times you can ride your luck, or, you know, do it inside 90 minutes. Like you said, they need that second game to get going. But also, I think the experience of some of their squad carries so much weight. And that's why when they got to the second leg against Man City, I was saying to people in here and friends and stuff, like, don't write Real Madrid off. I know they were poor in that first half, particularly in the first leg against Man City. But there's always that, you know, European history. And we say it carries weight.
Carragher called it Real Madridness on the podcast.
And we say it's a thing for us. So it should be for Real Madrid. They won 13 up to, for Christ's sake, and they know what they're doing. Benzema's been in terrific form past, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 months maybe. He's been phenomenal. So he's dragged them up. They have injection of youth, which they can bring on. And Camavinga's been excellent when he's gone as a substitute and changed games. That's why Ancelotti's still a top manager. That's why he left Everton, because he's like, I'm not working with crap. He goes there, and him himself has got the experience knowing what to do.
Absolutely right. Again, looking at, let's do the positive. If you're looking at it from a Liverpool lens, then Sam, good teams have managed to score a lot of goals past them. PSG, like I say, get the two against them there. Chelsea get loads of goals against them as well. Obviously, City, plenty. They should have scored more in that first leg and in the second leg. You know, if Jack Grealish scores one of those two at the end, it's a different conversation. Yeah. We're going to a Champions League final to play Manchester City here, not Real Madrid. So let's look at that point first. They are there to be got at. There's goals to be scored against them. And Liverpool, you know, we're pretty good at scoring goals. So if you're looking at it again, that's a really positive potentially going into it.
Yeah, and finals are different games of football than anything else, aren't they? So when you play in a final, it's quite pressured, intense. Those players who are brave are generally the ones who sort of shine in those games, aren't they? So Real Madrid have those players, fair enough. But I look at their team and I keep seeing how experienced they are. Some of them are very experienced. Benzema, Modric and Kroos are. But when I look around the squad...
Casemiro.
I was thinking in my mind, and Camavinga will play, but what am I thinking? So there's four players there who have got serious... Whereas I look at the rest of the squad, like, you know, Carvajal, I don't know when he was a starter for them. Valverde, Vinicius, you know, the other three at the back, they weren't playing in that last final. So they have got as many newbies to the team as they've got experienced players. Yeah. They're going to be going into a final with no experience for against a rampant Liverpool team. It's a different Liverpool team than last time. Our whole 11, I imagine, will have been in a Champions League final, bar maybe Diaz, and that's if Diaz starts. We don't know that yet. I assume he would. But so it kind of evens itself out in terms of the experience on that big occasion, you know, with the two cup finals we've had this year. I'm very confident that that's not going to be what wins or loses the game. And the moments thing, I think it's as much down to game management as it is amazing luck or whatever. I mean, if you look at the goals conceded from, especially from Paris, I mean, come on, it was shocking the way they managed that game. And we can just learn from that.
Yeah,
and I think Klopp said it, didn't he? He said, well, they're 2 minute, they've played 2 minute games 3 times or something like that. We just need to make sure the other 88 minutes we're better.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it's like, you are right to reference. So Courtois wasn't, obviously it was Navas mainly. Carvajal plays in 18, but like, you're looking at, it's Nacho, Militao, it's going to be Mendy at left back. They haven't got it. The two, we'll see who plays either side of Benzema, whether it's Vinicius, Rodrigo. Well, Vinicius will play.
Yeah.
Rodrigo or Valverde. Yeah, so there's it's a bit of a mix. It's kind of the same as Liverpool, really, in that sense, Ross. We've got lads who have been there, done it before. But also, again, whoever plays centre-back next to Virgil,
well, Matip has,
but if it's Ibu, he never. So there's, you know, Thiago's got, listen, he's won everything, but not actually at Liverpool Football Club. Naby Keita injured during that time as well. You referenced Luis Diaz. It does feel both sides are in this mix where we have got lads who have been here and done it. Granted, Real Madrid more so in terms of how often. Like Danny Carvajal, I think, has got like 4 medals, and Benzema's got 4. They've all got them, but like you say, in terms of like experience and youth, it's kind of a good match for both teams. There's not a real advantage because they're both a team full of winners with exciting youngsters as well.
Yeah, and that's where it comes down to motivation and management from the managers to get these players in the right frame of mind before the game goes on. I know those people like Mo Salah we were talking about before, and all these people have got individual stories, will be having words with all these young players about what they should and what they shouldn't do. And that's why I think, like, I don't know whether Real Madrid do this, but I like it when we're in the earlier rounds of these stages for big games. I'll tell you what, like last season, Harvey or whoever, start of season, you come with us, Reece Williams could come with us. Like, you're nurturing all these young players to get used to the kind of big environment in your European stage. And I know it's not a final, but it's not going like, just come with us, lads, to this final. And, you know, there might be a chance that you might play, you need some minutes. It's not as daunting for these players. And maybe that was helped last season on the European stage, but there's no, I know there's no fans there, but like, people like, I know Reece Williams won't play in this, but for example, like, he's been there, like, he's been around to like the San Siro and whatever else. We played Real Madrid, not last season, the season before, like, they played us off the park in that second half.
In the COVID season, was last COVID. Season?
Last year.
In their training ground, yeah.
So, but again, you know, you talk about the experience of two players, I don't think that their team is a far cry from what that was. And he completely dominated us. I know we had like loads of injuries at that point, and we were missing a few players. Keita goes off at half time, whatever.
And wasn't it Kabak and Phillips?
Yeah,
but the Anfield game, we were the better side.
Yeah,
in a slightly, well,
they had the advantage of the goal.
Yeah,
Let's look at the other way then. Do you believe in this, like, your names on the trophy stuff?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't believe. but what I don't believe is Real Madrid are that kind of team that their names are. They've got Karim Benzema, they've got Luka Modric, who are two of the most talented footballers in Europe, you know, unbelievable. One's a Ballon d'Or winner in the Messi Ronaldo era. One's won everything you can possibly win, and, you know, he makes France better than when they won the World Cup. Like, they're not. When Liverpool won it, we were the plucky underdogs. When Porto won it, they were the plucky underdogs. There's not been many more of them. Potentially maybe Chelsea last year, you could argue, but COVID and all that stuff kind of writes that off. Real Madrid are not plucky underdogs.
Real Madrid.
Yeah. And they spend a lot of money. You've got Gareth Bale. Mm-hmm. He might as well be Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale playing golf on 500 grand a week. I mean, come on.
Hazard,
yeah. What's he? He's probably injured, just caddying for him, yeah.
Yeah, he's injured at the moment. Right, then, let's look at the threat of Madrid then before we start focus on Liverpool. The front three, and what's interesting against Real Betis last weekend, if you think that Carlo was maybe getting his team ready, it's interesting that he goes Benzema, Vinicius and Rodrigo. He starts Rodrigo. He obviously plays Valverde there and then brings Rodrigo on to have the impact. That's as good a front three as you're going to get on world footy, really, at the moment. But we know Benzema, we don't have to go on too much with Karim Benzema. He's the Ballon d'Or odds-on favourite for a reason. Yeah. Scored tons of goals this season. What a footballer he is. Leading Real Madrid, captain, all that. He's unbelievable. Vinicius, we saw him first and in them games last season, he was unbelievable. Yeah. We've seen, and City felt the Vinicius impact a bit at times as well. And of course, Rodrigo, the upstart kid who's just coming on like a house on fire recently. Like, that's a big threat to Liverpool. Liverpool's defensive record is very good, Ross, with those three starting there. Like, that's a huge threat for Liverpool that you have to be wary of.
And I think as soon as we got through to the final, all the talk, particularly from Liverpool fans and maybe opposition fans as well, was Trent and Vinicius.
Yep.
That's where the big chat was, and like, oh, he's going to own Trent and whatever, and the old Trent can't defend thing. But I think Liverpool need to look at the Man City example of when he played, and obviously when we played them last season, of how to counter that. And obviously in that game that we played, I don't think we have Fabinho at that point, but it's Fabinho, Jordan Henderson, who, you know, I think might start this game. It's their role to fill in. You know, we're sick and tired of having this argument of Trent can't defend, or Trent's out of position. He gets told to play right wing.
The flip side is, though, on that, this is an interesting situation, Ross. you change your game plan? Or do you say, you know what, we're Liverpool and we win because we do this, and you put your best foot forward and say, if that means that Vinicius might be able to get away sometimes, it's someone else to cover it. Or do you say to Trent, and we did this against Anthony Gordon in the derby, Jürgen even said, we told Trent just to drop 5 yards. Yeah. So we've done it to Anthony Gordon. I mean, like, Vinicius deserves that respect. Well, that'd be interesting for what the tactic.
But I don't think you have to do it for the whole game. I think you pick your moments,
okay,
and you use your communication in the team and go, like, listen, Fabinho, Hendo, I'm just going to go up for 5 minutes, just go make sure you cover me when he's there. It's about in-game management for this, and I think at times you can say we lack that, or Jürgen Klopp's just told him to do differently. But I think this thing, you know, opposition fans of Trent's always out of position, he gets told to be as far and wide as he can, or even this time of the season inside Mo Salah, so he can help Mo Salah play his game and take a play away from him. That's what we have to do, and Vinicius will have to worry about Trent and Salah, both going the other way at the same time as well. So, you know, it's been a really interesting
on the other side battle. Sam, the Rodrigo versus Robertson is an interesting one, because teams don't really target Liverpool's left. There's obvious reasons. There's the best defender in the world plays on that side, and of course Andy Robertson's more than good enough a defender as well. But Real Madrid, I think they will target the right, or their left, our right, because why wouldn't you? That's what everyone does, it. China, it's an over Trent, stay away from Virgil. But Rodrigo's had a superstar impact for that team. He's the reason now that we're playing them pretty much in this final, or one of them. It'll be interesting to see how he's going to be a young kid with no fear. Like, he won't fear Virgil van Dijk. He'll be like, bring it on.
Yeah.
Again, I'd still back Virgil in any battle in anyone, but like, they're not gonna shy away from using that side like other teams have done.
Yeah, I think as well, when you look at the pace difference between the two, Rodrigo's quick, but he's not rapid. Vinicius is that just below Mbappe rapid.
He is sort of fast.
He's very quick. Do you know what I mean? He's like, it's the same as like with Diaz. He's very fast. Like, once he's gone, you're struggling. So I actually think that what our team will do is, whereas Man City play a high line, don't they? But they play the high line and they play on the turn. So what that means is that when the ball gets played, they're all on the turn to get back, which was why they recover quite well, to be fair, especially with Walker. We don't. We play a high line and we step through. So I don't think Vinicius and Rodrigo have played against the high line like ours before. So it might be, as Ross said, it might be about adapting the game plan to deal with both of those sides at different stages of the game. So it might be push really high, let them get offside loads of times, right up the pitch, try and squeeze a couple of goals, and then we can sit back and almost give them that. So I'm not worried. To be honest, I'm not worried. There's wingers just as quick as Vinicius in the Premier League, and we played them in the Champions League. They're going to get through at times, so I'm not concerned too much. Rodrigo, very good young, talented player, but I don't think he'll play anyway.
You think he'll play Valverde?
I think Valverde, because they've got to be pragmatic. They can't play two young wingers who are just going to let Trent and Robbo run wild, because we'll just get overloaded.
Yeah, fair enough. And then obviously Benzema talks well to himself. Right, we're going to talk about more about Real Madrid and their midfield after break, as well as how Liverpool could line up. Before we do that, first of all, we've had a super chat from Lachille, £20. Thank you very much, my pal. Awesome. Says, I want to say to all the team at Redmen, a big thank you for all your content and hard work this season. You keep us believing with your upbeat positivity about the culture of Liverpool. Get yourselves a few beers on me. Thank you very much, my mate. That's absolutely great to see. And yes, we will. Me and Ross will spend that 20. We're doing the watch along this weekend, so we'll bring a beer or two along with us. Right, then we are going to take a quick break. Before we do so, I've got a trivia question for you guys and everyone at home as well. So if you're in the Discord chat, one of our club legends, or you're watching live on YouTube, use the live chat. It's a two-parter. There are two answers to this question. Who was the last player signed from Real Madrid? Sorry. Who was the last player Liverpool signed directly from Real Madrid on a permanent deal? And part two, who was the last player we sold to Real Madrid on a permanent deal? I'll give you a clue. There are no loans. It is not Nuri Sahin. These are permanent deals. Last player we signed directly from Madrid, and the last player Madrid signed directly from us. We'll be back after this quick break with the answer to that question.
One other man I want to talk about in that Madrid team, Jamie's Camavinga. Like, 19 years old, he looks like he's got absolutely everything that he's won. You know, again, they're bringing him into the big games to make changes. He's one to watch out for. I think everyone kind of knows this at this point, but he's a star in the making.
He is, and we watched him. I was alongside Thierry Henry, and he's like, he doesn't even get in the French squad. That's what he said to me. It just shows how strong they are, whether he's just, you know, on the bench at the moment or trying to get into it. But I mean, I'm almost glad that he's not starting. I don't think he'll start. I think it's almost he'll make that change from the bench, Ancelotti, and I'm happier about that, I must say. It's just really interesting when we talk about that, how great that midfield is. That midfield wasn't on the pitch at the end of the game.
Yeah.
when they lost, when they went to beat Man City. And you sort of, you think, how could that possibly be? But it just shows you that those players, certainly Kroos and Modric, might struggle to last 90 minutes or 120 minutes. Maybe a little bit like the situation we have with Jordan Henderson right now, where Jordan actually looks like he's a 70-minute player, or he comes on for the 20 minutes. It's either one or the other. And maybe they're in that boat at the moment, where their two players have been there for so long and done so well. But what happens from the bench, I think, will decide the game, because of five subs. And how many times has Jürgen won the game for us this season in Europe from the bench? And that's why I'm convinced, if we can get everyone fit and available, I think we've got enough on the pitch and enough on the bench to make the difference to beat Real Madrid. I think we're a better team, and I think we're a better squad. It's just whether they have that mad moment that they've had all the way through the tournament, and they've got that Real Madridness about them again, or where something happens, because they are Real Madrid. What?
Yeah, so there you have it. Do go and check out the full Red Men podcast special with Cara on Red Men Plus right now. It's streaming now, both in video and in podcast form as well. Head on over to redmenplus.com, sign up, and you can listen to the whole show, including Chris lying to Jamie Carragher's face. Just looks him dead in the eye and tells him a complete lie, just right to his face. If you check out the LFC draft for more on that as well. Right then, before the break, I asked you, who was the last player we signed directly from Real Madrid, and who was the last player we sold directly to them?
Well, sold, we think, Arbeloa.
That is wrong.
Is it?
Yes. It by 5 days.
Oh, Alonso.
Alonso. according to LFC history, we sold Arbeloa on the 30th of July 2019, but we sold Alonso on the 5th of August, 2009. So Alonso was the last person we sold to them. What about buying from them?
I remember, right, that I was in Ibiza when I was obviously in my DJ days, and we'd had a big night the night before one of our events. I woke up absolutely ruined, and Mark, who was my manager at the time, ran in and was like, he's a big Liverpool fan, we've sold Alonso. And one of his mates was with us, who'd flew over, and he was like, it's all right, Rafa's got this. And I just remember all morning, Rafa's got this. Aqua fucking man, nice one. Can't remember his name, I'd kill him on that.
Joe, who we bought from them last?
I do, I think.
Go on.
Morientes?
Yeah,
yes. Was. Nice. Is that who you had, Si?
Fernando Morientes in January 2005. Wow. Yeah, so a long time since we bought someone from them, and a long time since we sold anyone. Let's keep it that way as well. Mohamed Salah, Sadio Mane, etc. A few people in the live chat, let's see who got that, if any of you got it right. George got the Alonso one, as did Samantha as well. And Paul said Nunes, though. Nunes, no, that was a little bit before.
That was the summer before the
Champions League run, of
we
course.
We swapped Michael Owen for Nunes.
Ryan, yeah, we did, yeah. Ryan got Morientes, but he too went for Arbeloa as well. So yeah, thanks to all you guys for getting involved. But yeah, Fernando Morientes and Xabi Alonso were the answer. Two icons of Spanish football, one icon of Liverpool Football Club. Let's just leave it at that. Right then, let's talk injuries. In fact, let's talk injuries before we move on to like the midfield battle, because it kind of ties in. Divock's out. Van Dijk, which is a big shame.
Is he injured?
He's injured.
He was
injured
on the
Sunday.
Not a Lallana deal.
No, he's out injured. Yeah. Yeah. Fab and Gomez trained yesterday. Looks like they're going to be fine. The interesting ones, Thiago Alcantara. Sam, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
Jürgen said it's surprisingly good news. He's done a little bit of light training yesterday. He's expected that time recording to train today. Mm-hmm. That is a massive, massive pivotal moment, I think, if he's fit or not. Would you tend to agree? Because we know it's going to be Casemiro or Camavinga, but likely Casemiro, Kroos and Modric. Mm. It's going to be Fabinho. It's going to be Henderson. It's whether it's Thiago or maybe Naby or Milner is that third one. But it's a big old deal if it's Thiago, because he's been wonderful again this season.
The thing is, whoever you start out of the four you mentioned, maybe take Milner out, and you've got one more in reserve to freshen up. You've got a serious quartet of midfield.
I'd be shocked, by the way, if Milner doesn't come on at some point as well. Possibly.
But what I mean is, imagine it's 60 minutes 0-0 and you're bringing on Thiago. Fantastic substitution. It's a little bit different if you've got to bring Milner on. Not against Milner. It's just in terms of where he's at in his career and his quality and creativity. If you look at compare the two midfield, you can almost go like for like with probably Kroos and Henderson these days. They're not much between them. Kroos is a very good player, but so's Henderson. Casemiro and Fabinho, again, loads of experience in there, but Thiago matches up to Modric. He's the only thing we've got anything like him, isn't it?
Like, so close, yeah. And if he's not fit, is it Naby? If they deem today, Ross, that Thiago can only give you half an hour,
yeah,
and you've got to start someone. He's got options. Again, I don't write James Milner off. James Milner started big games recently for Liverpool, again, very recently. Naby seems like the obvious one as well. There's an outside chance of Curtis Jones, but that's a big old call as well. So if you're Jürgen right now and you get the phone call off the medical staff, Thiago can only give you half an hour, you've got to pick a midfielder. Who would you pick?
Probably picking Naby.
Okay.
To be honest, I've said this loads. Like, I think Liverpool's games are won and lost in midfield. I love the idea of a Fabinho, Thiago, and Kate in midfield in certain games. So you're playing a low block side, he's going to sit there and put 10 men behind the ball. That's the perfect midfield for me because you don't need Jordan Henderson doing his pressing and cutting out passes and everything else. When you're playing Real Madrid, who've got Kroos and Modric and Casemiro in their side, I think you have Fabinho, Henderson, and one or two of Thiago and Kate because I think they're quite. I know Keita gets forward a bit more and drives more with the ball. Thiago sits a bit deeper than Fabinho sometimes and can spray the ball around. And then it's on Real Madrid to sit on Thiago and stop him doing what we need to stop Modric doing. So I think they're quite similar. But I just think the balance of midfield has to be perfect. I think it's a lot for Curtis Jones to expect him to start in a Champions League final and perform.
The flip side on that, can I just come to you on the stick with, is to throw back devil's advocate, Naby Keita played against this midfield last season and got hooked before half time. That you referenced that 3-1 in their trade. Again, it was a different Liverpool team, and again,
exactly.
He's got Kabach and he's got Nat Phillips behind him, and he's in a midfield with, it's Gini though and Fabinho. It's not like, you know, it's not a Dosser midfield, but he literally got, if Thiago comes on at 40 because he's getting hooked, he's been given the run around for them. So,
but I also think he's arguably in his best form or consistency, yeah, in his Liverpool career
100%.
Over the past 2 or 3 months. So I think that's a completely different story as well. And obviously injuries, COVID, the team we were putting out. I don't think he was the only person that was terrible that night either, by the way.
Yeah.
I think, and probably similar to Aston Villa, he's just happened to be the one that got hooked at half time. So he gets the finger pointed at him. I think I trust him a lot more than I did do 12, 18 months ago. I think most people do. If he's in good form, he's playing well, and you know, he's training well, he deserves to start the game, then go for it. And also, I don't want to, it would hurt me to start Thiago in this game for him to come off after 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I think the sensible Keita plays, you know,
and Thiago is your sub to bring on.
You, and do you know what? He's a very good player defensively as well as attackingly, so even when he comes on, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to be chasing a lead. He can come on and break play up and pivot next to Fabinho anyway, even if we are 1-0 up.
Yeah.
So I think it just makes too much sense to play Keita. Last season was a different year, different Liverpool team, different I find it hard to even compare.
Yeah.
No, you're right.
Unless the medical team says fucking Thiago's 100%, fucking fill your boots. Yeah. Then the fact is, probably start him.
There's a chance he could train a bit like training first, that he could do a full training session. If he time recorded, he could do a full training session today and a full training session tomorrow, in which case he's going to play.
Yeah.
He's absolutely. If you get through two training sessions without a risk,
he'll be peeled up and everything else.
Injections in the Achilles, yeah, and then, you know, inhalers everywhere. and then you give him and then if you do have to bring him off after an hour for Naby, then you deal with it. I tend to agree with that. If he gets through the next two sessions unscathed, because we don't even know if he's going to train today. He said they're going to see how he reacts to the session yesterday. Yeah. So we'll find out how that one goes. But I'm with you. I think if he goes through the two, he starts with a view to maybe giving him Naby for half an hour, even Milner, depending on the game situation. The only other real talking, but I reckon the team picked itself, Sam, other than centre-back, it's Konate or Matip. Does Konate's performance against Wolves stand against him here? Because Raul Jimenez did give him a run around a little bit, and he's going to be up against a big physical striker again, a better one than Raul Jimenez in Karim Benzema. Does that give you any food for thought that maybe, because I've always thought he would go Ibu, but now I'm starting to think, I wonder if he just goes back to the experience of Joel Matip, been there, done, and got the T-shirt.
I think Jimenez is more physical than Benzema, though. I think the league, he's a monster in the air. Like, I don't just mean like off crosses and stuff. He just in general plays brilliant. Really annoying that, wasn't it, on Sunday? I've always leaned towards Matip just because I feel he plays the high line better. And I think with the threat of Vinicius, Benzema doesn't run through on goal. He picks up the ball off the cutback or the ball in the box, doesn't he? So I've always thought Matip, but the pace thing, the recovery pace to help Trent might sort of swing it in Konate's way.
That's what I was thinking. I think if it's to do with the high line, Ross, he might go Konate, because if Trent isn't catching Vinicius, Ibu might not, but he might have a better chance at it. Matip's got no chance. Like, Matip has struggled to catch Benzema up at some point. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. If they're worried about the high line, similar to the Man City thing where we were allowed to go high. He might just want that pace of Ibu. The flip side is lack of experience. You know, Matip's played and won a Champions League final. You don't know how nerves are going to affect a youngster like Ibu. So it is a tricky one. There's pros and cons for both of them, really.
Yeah, I think I'd go for Joel Matip, to be honest. Yep. I think he's, you know, banging the drum of how exceptional he's been this season. I think he's been integral to our success. The fact that he's been consistent. I thought I was done with him in the summer because I thought his injuries for two seasons. I thought he's not going to recover. Obviously, Virgil said when Paul spoke to him yesterday, like, give him a new contract. I think he's brilliant. I think he makes up for his lack of pace with his reading of the game and his positional play. And I just, you know, to your point, that experience, I think will shine through. Canati will get plenty more chances, hopefully, to play in Champions League finals for Liverpool or start them. Sorry, you know, we might play a part in this. We don't know, but I think I'd edge Joel Matip.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And it's interesting because I'm looking at the live chat now on YouTube. Thanks everyone who's getting involved. So, like, we've got, and it's split. So it's DM Metcalf says Canate and Van Dijk with Matip on the bench for a great backup. Tiger again goes, Matip's got the experience and he deserves the place to see. But then the other flip side is Canate to deal with Vinicius's pace. There are pros and cons. I think Jürgen will know his 10. It's whether Thiago's fit is the only option. I wonder, does he know right now what he's going to do at centre-half? Because he's going to have to look at Joel Matip or Ibu Konate in the face and say one of you is on the bench. And I don't think he's not scared to do that. He's made big decisions before, Sam. But like I say, I think that gives you a clear indication of, like, I think if it's Ibu, it shows maybe he's a little bit more worried about Real Madrid. If he goes Matip, he's almost saying, balls out, where Liverpool, we're going to be us. That's kind of how I see this. Are you the same?
Yeah. One of the things I'd say about this game as well is that, you know, when we come up against other teams, sometimes you genuinely don't know what they're going to do. There's not a chance these lot revert to three at the back and play a 3-4-3 or a 4-4-2. They're going 4-3-3. We know what their team is, don't we? I think that helps. I think that probably helps Klopp as well with his preparation and picking the team, because if you pretty much know what you're up against, Valverde or Rodrigo, okay. But that doesn't affect that side of the pitch anyway. So he'll know probably once the recovery sessions were done after Wolves, you're right, Matip, you're right, Ibu. He'll have known from then who he was going to pick. I think picking Matip is almost, I say it's poor saying this, but like a reward for the season he's had. And he's built up to this stage. What's he played the last three matches or something like that? He's been really fit and ready.
Scored goals.
And I just think when we've got the ball and the way he steps forward, the way he plays into the final third, I think he can be a threat on the ball as well as off it.
Having said that, Canate's goal scoring form in this competition, yeah, you know, from set pieces, corners in particular, you know, he's a monster. I think the real answer is, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter what it does.
Of course it does. But I don't think anyone will be disappointed. You can hardly start. I'm going to start to go, oh, fucking hell.
No, I get you. Completely agree. I'd be completely comfortable with either of them. If it was me, I think I would go Matip too.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be shocked if he goes. No. I've got to do a starting 11 prediction show later, and I'm still, I know the 10, presuming Thiago's fit.
Yeah.
That 11th one, I must admit I'm struggling. Your reference before, Ross, about Virgil van Dijk, speaking to Paul. Paul and Si were invited down to Liverpool's media day yesterday at the AXA Training Centre. Paul caught up with a ton of the current Liverpool players, all of whom will be featuring this weekend, fingers crossed for every single one of them. Here's what Virgil van Dijk had to say to Paul yesterday.
John Matip. What a man. I mean, he's a one-man social media machine for a start, because he's just incredible. Everything he does is absolutely brilliant. Is he? Where are you putting him in world football? Because as far as I'm concerned, I mean, with the greatest of respect, I don't see there's much between the two of you.
Listen, he had a. I'm just very happy that he had a season where he didn't have injuries. Let's keep it that way. Yeah. Obviously, he's been very unlucky with injuries. But this season, you know, he's been outstanding. Obviously, he played games. He had rested. Ibu came in as well. Did fantastic as well. You know, he's a fantastic guy. I really enjoy how he sees life in general, because obviously you deal with each other day in, day out, and you see what he values in life. And I think it's a lot of things that people can learn. Players, in this case, can learn from him. And he just, you know, he's on the pitch, fantastic player. His dribbling, but also his presence, important for us. And hopefully he can stay here for the next 10 years to come. I want him to sign a new deal, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it out there.
Yeah.
But no. Nah. No, but, you know, it's a privilege also to play with him. And I'm just happy for him that he's performing the way he's been performing.
Yeah, so there you have it, the words of Virgil van Dijk about Joel Matip, his centre-back partner, potentially, for the Champions League final this weekend. If you want to check out that full interview, it's about 10 minutes or so with the world's best defender, as well as interviews with Sadio Mane and his potential chances of winning a Ballon d'Or. Got Jordan Henderson, Andy Robertson and Harvey Elliott as well. They're all streaming right now over on Red Men Plus, both in video and podcast forms. I listened to them all on my commute into work this morning, that's why I know what was said in all of them. And Virgil van Dijk, there's a world where your boss said the word bellend to Virgil van Dijk. That's a sentence that we say in this job, Ross. We're quite lucky. Yeah, yeah. Basically, spoiler on one of the clips. Sorry, Paul basically says, like, none of your teammates are bellends, are they? And I don't think Virgil's ever been asked that question before. No. He's been there, done that, and heard everything, but I don't think anyone's ever asked him if his teammates are bellends.
That's why I say we're one of the good guys. Yeah, he like to watch this, probably. I love the way you pointed at me and said bellends while you said that as well, by the way. I didn't realise it, did you?
Just a force of habit, yeah.
That's second time you've done that today, mate.
do it every single day, yeah. So do go and check, though. They are all streaming right now on Red Men Plus, as is the Carragher podcast, and as is the European Cup stories with Phil Thompson as well. I spoke to Phil Thompson for about an hour or so about the last time Liverpool played Real Madrid in a final in 1981 in Paris. Phil Thompson there, you can see it there. Look at some amazing content there streaming right now for you on Red Men Plus. There's Michael Thomas about the FA Cup. You've got John Achterberg with the mural, the Ragamuffin. You've got the story of the Cruz. Absolutely tons there for you now. For as little as what? A cup of coffee? That's what it'll cost you for a month for subscription. Absolutely brilliant. Do go over and check it all out. I promise you won't recommend... you won't be disappointed by it. I can hugely recommend it.
You will recommend it.
You will recommend it. You won't be disappointed by it. Right then, we've kind of went through... I'm going to read a team out, and if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Alisson, Robertson, Matip, Van Dijk, Alexander-Arnold, mm-hmm. Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, Diaz, Mane, Salah. Is that Jürgen's 11, Sam?
Yeah, has to be. As long as they're all fit, that's the team right there.
Is there a Bobby Firmino argument to be made with having someone off your bench, like a Diaz it would be Diaz, because Salah and Mane are playing. Like, that's the flip side, isn't it? That Bobby has played well, Ross, when he started against Southampton. He's made two sub-appearances recently, and it's been dog-awful in both of them. Like, it feels like he looks like a lad who needs to start, because if you do start Diaz, Mane, Salah, I suppose you're looking at your bench options that are then Jota and Bobby, and it's fair to say both of them are hit and miss at the minute. That's fair to say.
Possibly, but give me a reason to not play Diaz, Mane, and Salah.
Yeah. No, I'm with
first,
you.
First and foremost.
Yeah. And keep them on.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just been unfortunate timing. You know, obviously he's been out for a long spell, come back and had those frustrating substitute appearances. And obviously he did play well when he started, but I think it's just too soon for him, too much pressure. I think it'd be too much pressure on Jurgen Klopp, and I think you'd also be piss off Sadio Mane if you say to him, sorry, you've been amazing for the past 6 months, mate. You know,
go and do a job on the left.
But either go to a job on the left or you're on the bench.
No, Sadio's playing. Yeah, exactly. He's on the pitch.
telling Diaz, who spurred us on since January, that you're not starting this game.
The If you're worried about Real Madrid, Sam, you probably played Robbie because you might want him to get in and around that midfield, go and stand on the toes of Casemiro. Mane's probably a bit better defensive. No, but I don't say that Diaz puts a shift in, to be fair to him. But again, if you're looking right, how do we go and attack that defence that they've got, which has let goals in? Diaz, Mane, Salah just writes itself all day. It's whether you want Bobby to do that little bit of controlling job in the first half where you think it might be tight. Can he get around Cruz a little bit? Can he get around Casemiro? So there's a balance to be had. Sadio will do that as well, but Bobby's probably the best at it.
Yeah, he is. I think maybe if Bobby would have played another 90 minutes in a big game since he's been back, if he'd have maybe, I don't know, if he'd maybe played well on Sunday.
He was shocking.
He was terrible. Me gets an assist, though.
He does, yeah.
for Robbo. But again, they're all different types of games. I mean, don't get me wrong. If Real Madrid are winning 1-0, it will become Atletico Madrid. They'll swap places within City Six. But I just think, for me, Diaz, like I've said all along, he's gonna do something absolutely special this season. And I look at Real Madrid with attacking wingers who don't really want to be defending. Carvajal, right back. You know, it's the sort of equivalent of having like an Aspilicueta right back experience, but if you get him on a big pitch, look at what he did to Chelsea in the League Cup final, look what he did to City in the FA Cup semi-final. That's the kind of performance I'm looking at from Diaz. Salah has to play. There's just no two ways about it. And so does Mane. He's the form number nine in our league right now, as in number nine, last 10 games or so. So for me, it's just the ultimate sort of trident up front there.
We spoke earlier about Mo Salah and what this game means to him, Ross, but like, Paul literally asked Sadio Mane, like, there's a Ballon d'Or to be won. If Sadio scores the winning goal in the European Cup final, having done what he did with Senegal twice, having won two cups already, domestic cups, like, he might not surpass Benzema, but there's a very good chance he could. And if I'm Sadio Mane, I'm licking my lips at the thought of, it isn't Varane and Ramos this time, you know, it's Valverde and Militao. Sorry, it's Nacho and Militao. Good players, don't get me wrong, good players. But again, reference it before, there's been goals scored against both of them. Sadio, if he is number nine, which he probably will be, should be licking his lips.
Yeah, well, you talk about narratives and stories as well. He scored in the... You know, 4 years ago in Kiev, and we didn't win the game, so you might feel a bit aggrieved.
He tried so hard to get his back. Of all the people, as soon as Mo goes off in that final, Sadio did pick the baton up, and he really did.
And he's capable of doing it again. In fact, I think he's probably got a better argument than Mo Salah for all the reasons you just said. If he scores a goal in this game, he wins it.
Yep.
For getting the Ballon d'Or, nor should that be overlooked either. And maybe he's going slightly under the radar because it's the revenge of Mo Salah and all this stuff. I'm fine with any of it. Just play the game for Liverpool, which I'm sure they will do. You know, if they get the Ballon d'Or afterwards or they get more rewards or whatever afterwards, that's fine. Just do the job on the pitch for Liverpool first and foremost.
Yeah, let's go back to midfield then. Sam, we had a conversation earlier, but Fabinho hasn't played since he hobbled off at Villa Park. I was there, and when I saw him go down, I remember thinking, that's easily touching over the final. You just get that sense sometimes. Like, and now it looks like he's going to play. He has trained. Again, if you check out the socials, there's a clip. Ross, even on TikTok, Ross made a nice TikTok. What song was it he put to it? Was it I Like to Move It or something?
No, it's a slide thing.
Cha-cha, was it?
Yeah.
You can see Fabinho doing the cha-cha slide over on our TikTok account. He was back in training, good news, but he hasn't played footy for a while, and now Sammy's got to go and play against, like, again, former Ballon d'Or winner, Tony Cruz, who's been there, done that one episode, everything, Casemiro as well. It's to be dropped into that game isn't going to be easy for Fab. He's going to have to get his boots on. I referenced the Villa game. He was bad in that. Before he went off, he was poor. He's had a couple of stinkers for the overall season. He's been excellent. But again, that isn't just easy to go and not play for a couple of weeks, bang, go and play Real Madrid.
Well, do you know what? He looked really fatigued in that game. He has done at times this season look tired in games, like where, because he's a big lad, if you're a bit tired, you can get skinned by those sort of little, you know, low sense of gravity midfielders. Real Madrid haven't got them. Modric used to be one of them, but now he's much more of a one-touch, caress the ball across the turf. Yeah. I would back Fabinho to be able to do a job in this type of game on the transition, stopping it, because he's not dealing with Bernardo Silva or, you know, your Ruben Neves and those type of players who can just skip past you at pace. So I think it's the type of challenge. And do you know what? The 10 days or so he's had off, it's not even been 2 weeks, has it? Will it? I don't even think it's been 2 weeks, has it? It's been like...
Since it was literally two weeks, wasn't it?
So it's just literally 2 weeks since he's been out. Like, that might have done him good. All right, he's got a rehab, but he's probably needed that little break. Listen, when we won the last Champions League, we had 4 weeks off to think about not winning the Premier League. This time we've had a week, which is perfect in my opinion. Yeah. And for those players who've injured, Thiago, obviously a few days, and... Fabinho's had, what, 2 weeks? So yeah. I'm not worried at all.
And the rest of the squad as well, to that point as well. We played, what, two games a week like Saturday, Tuesday or Sunday, Wednesday for like a month now. Those players, we sat around twiddling their thumbs. And again, to that point where we had 3 weeks off, I think we played an in-house game against, was it Benfica? Yeah. There's no reason to say that we might not, maybe not with another team, but we might do 11v11 in training today.
He'll need something
tomorrow, because he's gonna need that to get him
up. It'll be 18 days by the time, since he hobbled off at Villa Park, by the time the final kicks off, similar kickoff times, obviously. So yeah, you are right. That is maybe something to keep an eye on. And can he do 90? Can he do 120? Because if he can't, Hendo's got to do the whole game, because he will be the number six. If Fab can only do an hour or so, Ross, we don't know. No. Fingers crossed he's 100%. That means Hendo going back in. It probably means Milner coming on. It isn't like the ideal situation. So we really could do with Fab. Whoever, you know, get the inhalers in him again, for fuck's sake. Whatever it takes, make sure Fab can do 120.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe that lends to a reason whether you just start Fabinho and maybe not Thiago. You don't want to find yourself in a situation.
That's what I was about to say.
You're only half an hour in and you're taking both of them off. And then you're left with, what, Hendo, Keita, James Milner, which isn't ideal, possibly very capable of doing it against Real Madrid, but you want your best players at the best performance.
And at some point, they're going to bring Camavinga on. Sam?
He's dynamic.
He's ridiculous. He's everything Paul Pogba should have been. That's what he reminds me. He is unbelievable. Again, there's got to be a plan for that. You're not only planning for, and especially with the five subs as well, there's probably got to be a plan, because at some point he'll take Cruz or Modric off, he'll bring Camavinga on, it might be Valverde who comes on as well. He's done this in the City game, he ends up with all the young lads on the pitch, he takes off the old guy, and it's the new guy who were trying to win the game for him. I think he brings Asensio on, doesn't he, at some point, takes Benzema off at one point as well. So that's another thing to worry about. We know for a fact that at some point Camavinga will be on the pitch, and he is another huge threat. It might be that when they make their sub, you almost react by making yours. It's Camavinga, right, Naby or Milner, just go and fucking run round after him for half an hour.
And I think we can also change our shape. We talked before about the way Thiago slots in with Fabinho. If Thiago was to come on, then maybe we just slightly go to that sort of system we have with two or a little
two
bit deeper. Yeah, not quite 4-2-3-1, but I know exactly what you mean. Maybe that's just what we do. To be honest, we just need to play our game. We need to be on the front foot. We need to pressure them. We need to be clinical. That's the key thing. In a final, if you're clinical, you win games of footy. It was weird because in the semis, Benzema kept missing chances in the first half against City.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, it's not their day. And then obviously someone else saves the day. So we just got to be clinical and be professional.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed we can be that. Right then, Discord chat. We've got a chat message from Danny who says, if it's Thiago, then he'll control our game. But Naby is still a good option if he can't play. Yeah, I think we'd all tend to agree with that one as well. And Andy says, Camavinga's look good when he's played. He is very solid and energetic. And yeah, he can't. I think we'd all go along with that as well. He looks like another superstar. Tchouaméni might be joining them there by all accounts as well. If you want to hear more about that situation, I've got Neil Jones in later on JNO Insight again on Red Men Plus. We'll ask him.
We should strike a deal. Whoever wins the game gets him.
Like a ladder match in wrestling.
With the belt up.
Win against the cup and Tchouaméni presents the trophy. Yeah. And he signs his contract there and then as well. That wouldn't they go and miss it? Absolutely perfect. Fingers crossed it's us who gets that win then. Right then, lads. Before we go, have a little think what your score position is going to be. I'm going to come back to you. I'll give you a little tee up there. Yep. Have a little think what you think the score position is going to be. In the meantime, we saw before about those clips with a quick chat with all the Liverpool players. We've also got Jürgen Klopp's press conference and it was Mo Salah and Jordan Henderson. They are streaming right now on our YouTube channel, completely free. Also on our podcast as well, the Red Men TV podcast. If you look for that in your native podcast app, sign up to it and you'll get those well. Again, completely free access to Jürgen's conference and Mo's conference and Jordan's conference. And there was plenty of good lines, including Mo Salah saying he's going to stay at Liverpool next season, which again, absolutely buzzing with that one. They are free, every single one of them, on the YouTube channel and on the podcasts as well, whatever podcast you use. I use Apple, for example, and I can promise you it works, because again, I listened to me today. I promise you it absolutely works.
How long is your drive to work? Listen to a lot of content.
I did two school runs and a drive to school today.
Okay.
Because it was raining. I usually take both the kids at the same time, but one has to walk to do the one school with me, because it was raining. I didn't really want her having to walk around, so it was back and forth. So I listened to...
Long morning.
I did like an hour or so driving, and I listened to pretty much all of them. I'm halfway through the Salah and Mane one, spoiler alert. But yeah, no, it wasn't Mane, it was Salah and Henderson rather, yeah. But yeah, like I was saying before, we have got you covered here on Red Men TV and Red Men Plus for Paris Week. I mentioned before the Thompson and the Carragher stuff, that's already out now. We've also done a debate show special all about the Champions League final. They are all streaming on Red Men Plus. We'll have the opposition preview later as well. We've got Neil Jones coming in later as well. Absolutely tons happening on Plus on the YouTube channel. Obviously, hopefully you've enjoyed the build-up show. We've got the starting 11 prediction show. For the game itself, we'll have the team news reaction show. Me and Ross will be here for that one, and for the live watch-along of the game as well. Also, post-game content. We'll have your player ratings and the fan reaction show. Furthermore, from France, Paul and Chris have got you covered. They'll be doing shows all throughout the next three or four days, so yeah, keep an eye on them. And then post-game, of course, me and Ross will do the instant match reaction on Redmen Plus. Hopefully, talking about how Liverpool won their seventh European Cup. That would be mighty splendid indeed. For that to happen, Liverpool need to win the game, Ross. What is your prediction for this weekend?
1-0, Trent free kick.
Normal time?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it. I love it.
All penalties.
Okay. I'll take it. Not so much.
I'm going to go the opposite. I think it's going to be a mad one for once. I think the Reds go 3-0 up. I think Madrid do what they've done and come back, but they don't quite get the job done this time, 3-2.
Similar to the semi-final against Man City.
Basically, yeah, and what they've done along. I just think it'll be 90 minutes too short for them. I think we go 2-0 up, 3-0 up, and then bang, bang. And it's like, here we go again. But we
who's your goal scorer?
For us, I think Diaz and Mane both score, and I think there'll be someone random like Keita or Van Dijk off a corner, Konate. I think Diaz steals the show, me.
Joel.
As
Andy Robbo, reminiscent of Alan Kennedy back in 1981. Yeah. My prediction is Liverpool to win 2-1 after extra time, with Mo Salah scoring the winner.
Nice.
Yeah. No more asking the crowd what score it is this time.
No, it doesn't matter. No one needs to know. You'll know the score. But yeah, that's what I'm going for as well. A couple of your comments then. So we've got Gargoyle, nice name. 2-1 or 3-2 to Liverpool. Yeah, you're expecting a big one. So it's Jason, 3-2. He's like you, Sam. He says there's guaranteed goals in this game as well. I think Pajak's the same as you. Pajak think it's going to be mental. Yeah. I think both teams are going to be tired, and I think it's going to be cagey. So that's why I'm going for the other
one. I would say that, but I think when you get to a final, every player will be just cautious of not making a mistake, or I don't think there is
gung ho maybe about it.
Yeah, maybe not gung ho. Yeah, just maybe a bit more adventurous with the play. You don't want to be that player that makes a mistake.
No, you're absolutely right. A couple more then. So Zabia's gone for 3-1. Natalie's gone for 3-2 after extra time. That's some European Cup final that. And PL has gone for 2-0 with Diaz and Mane with Jay. Copy on you going for 1-0 for the Reds as well. Thank you everyone for getting involved in the show as well. Thank you for getting involved in Red Men TV all season. This is the last match build up show of the campaign. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us for the entire journey. We've literally built up every single game that could have been played.
63.
Liverpool have managed to play them. So there you go. You've had 63 uncensored match build-up shows. Hopefully you've enjoyed each and every single one of them. If you have, please do subscribe to the YouTube channel. Please do drop a like on the video. It really does help us out. And like I say, if you want even more content, do check out Red Men Plus again. Carragher, Thompson, tons more. I promise you won't regret it. Sam, enjoy your trip to France.
Thank you, mate.
Ross, enjoy your trip to Hunts Cross. Thanks everyone for listening or watching. Let's go and win a 7th European Cup. Come on, the Reds. See you in a bit.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.